Hello everyone, welcome to Unverified, the show that focuses entirely on smaller creators that are starting to make a name for themselves on social media. I'm your host, Dakota Broussard, and every week we'll be taking a deep dive into a creator's history, personal experiences with creating content, earning revenue, working with brands, and growing an audience. In this episode, I'm joined by Billy Cobb. He's a musician and YouTuber whose growth has been propelled by his fantastic musical ability and his outrageous meme videos. He reached 100,000 subscribers only a few days prior to our interview. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. Let's jump into the interview. If you just want to start us off by telling us, you know, your background, how you got started in making music and creating content for social media, and just a little bit about what your content is.
Yeah, I'm Billy Cobb. It is my actual name and my stage name. I come from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Right outside of Philadelphia. I started making music when, well, that's what I do. I make music. I'm a musician. I make music on and I released pretty much everywhere. And, I have a YouTube channel, which I release my music on, and I make stupid videos on it as well. And, and I do all kinds of stuff there, but, yeah, I got started making music. I've always been into music, like, you know, the whole story you hear every time some musician gets interviewed, like, yeah, I was always into music, or I've always been musically talented, musically gifted, but like, I was singing since, for as long as I can remember, probably like first grade was the first time I remember, like, I don't know, singing karaoke on YouTube and crap, but like, so that was back in like 2004, now, and so then around middle school, I got into recording, and I had a little Tascam, and I tried to record rap songs on it, because I thought rap was cool back in the day. and I still like rap, but you know, like it was a little more cringy back then. But anyways, that's what got me into actual recording and performing. And then one day I decided, hey, maybe I should try making a rock record because I like rock music too. So in 2015, I made a rock album for the first time, and it kind of sucked. And then I started releasing covers on YouTube, the same year. And then I just kept making more covers, kept making more videos and more songs, more original songs, and recording and learning along the way. And then eventually I started making memes on YouTube, which really is what made me more popular, was making like music memes and stuff. It all started with a punk cover of Gary Come Home from SpongeBob, and that got a lot. That got like, I have videos that have well over a million views now, but that one got like out of nowhere, got about like 50 to 70 grand views, and that was a lot for me at the time. And so that was like, okay, that was my moment where I was like, okay, this is how I'm going to promote my stuff. And it's not like I'm just doing it to be cheap either. Like, I actually do enjoy making stupid meme videos and stuff. But that's how I started promoting myself and my music. And every once in a while, I'd throw out an original album, which was always the original intention. And I still do that, and that has worked out as well, especially in last year when I had a huge hit EP called Zerui, which was essentially a Weezer mockery. It was original songs in the style of Weezer, because I love Weezer, and Weezer at the time that I made it, in my opinion, hadn't made a really solid album since 2016's The White Album, which is my favorite. I don't think it's their best album, but it is my personal favorite album by theirs. And I just wanted more music that sounded like it, so I decided to make it myself. And And so that album, people really liked it, I guess, and it really resonated with people. And I think once again, it got its jump start, but through meme culture, because if you follow Weezer on social media, especially if you look at their Reddit page, it's filled to the brim with meme culture, and and that's what I think really propelled Zerwe to the mainstream, or the limelight, not mainstream, but yeah, like to its popularity status that it has now. And in a lot of ways, people look at that album as not just a mockery of Weezer, but just a good album in general, I guess. So that was what kind of, that was when people started, I mean, people liked my music before that, but that was when people started really looking at my music, more so than my shit posts. But yeah, now it's a nice fine balance between the two, and I still make EPs and music. I've made and albums I've made this year. I've made let me think. I lost count. Let's see, there was Post Bedroom Pop back in January. That's one EP. Then I made Zerwe 2, an album. That's an EP and an album. I made another EP this summer that I just released like a month ago, 2 months ago, called Graduating Life. So yeah, I've released, I think I might be missing one, but I've released at least three things this year, and it's plan on releasing more, and I'm just constantly making stuff. And that's everything that comes to the top of my head as far as who I am and what I do, and how I got here.
Is making music and creating content, is this what you do full time?
Yeah, I'm a student at okay. Temple University in Philadelphia. So, you know, being a student has its own. I know a lot of people work while also being in college, but I make enough money. My parents pay for college, so I don't really need a job to pay for that. And I make enough money on my music to be able to buy stuff. So yes, I do consider it full time at the moment. And I also have some things planned that'll hopefully keep it that way.
Are you studying music or something else?
So when I first went to college, I started in the music tech program, which is like recording and audio engineering and all that stuff. However, I did not like it because they made you do a lot of stupid music stuff. And don't get me wrong, I like the music theory. I've certainly dabbled with the music. I've taken 5 years of music theory classes. All different kinds of music theory classes. Like I've done all kinds of that stuff, but I don't know, something. So they would basically make me do all this music stuff. Like they made me take theory class. They made me take choir class. They made me take piano class, and piano was a living hell. I love piano. I love playing piano, but not the way they make you do it. Those classes were hell. They had like a quota on all these concerts that you had to stay after school for, which I really hated because I commute, so I'd have to stay school longer than I needed to. The nail in the coffin for me was I had to take math, and I suck at math. I cannot do math. I'm good at other things, but math is just, it just doesn't work for me. So I took my first test in that math class, and I had no idea what I was going to do. Cause the thing was, I'm pretty sure the way it works is that if you fail a class twice, you're not allowed to take that class again. And if I wasn't allowed to take that class again, and I knew I was going to fail that time, and I had a tutor and everything, and I just couldn't do it. And I knew if I failed that time, then I'd probably fail again. And if I failed that class twice and I couldn't take it, then I wouldn't even be able to graduate with that major. So looking ahead, I was just super miserable with that major. That was when I made Strokes of Incarceration around that time, which is my one of my favorite albums that I've made. And it's about hating college. So then I finally I switched majors to media studies and production, which is literally, like, as far as audio, it has all the audio engineering crap that music technology did. In fact, in some ways, it's actually better. And they also, and I don't have to do any of that extra music stuff. I don't have to take math. I don't have to stay after school. So it's, ever since I switched made, and it's not just audio stuff either. It's like Photoshop and TV and all this other stuff that I'm interested in. So all different kinds of media. So I'm actually enjoying that major quite a bit. So I'm really glad I switched, but yeah, that's what I'm doing in college.
Okay, so I mean, you're essentially still doing the same thing, but you're getting a slightly different education.
Yeah,
it seems like it focuses more on the practical than the actual theory of it. So
yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah. So, you know, how long have you been consistently uploading to YouTube, would you say?
Since July 4th, 2015, is when I uploaded my first video, which was a. My first video was a cover of a Gerard Way song, Gerard Way being the singer of My Chemical Romance. And it was a cover of a live song that he had performed, but he hadn't released the song yet at that time, which was called Don't Try. So I wanted a studio version of it, so I made one myself and I released it on the internet. And for a first video, it actually got quite a bit of attention. It got up to like 20,000 views. So I thought that was, so that already, kind of gave me a little jump start. But yeah, ever since that, I've constantly been uploading. I don't have like a schedule or anything. I just upload whenever I feel, driven to make something and upload it.
So you're not like sticking to a schedule. It's just kind of when you get the,
whenever I feel like it, because the thing is, if you stick to a schedule, you're just going to make completely uninspired schlock, and it's not going to be, you're not going to like it. Other people might not like it. And if you don't like, it's most importantly, if you don't like it, because if you don't like it, then you're just not going to want anything to do with it. And then in my opinion, that just makes it feel super uninspired. And I think other people can feel that tell, but.
Right. And you just hit 100K, didn't you?
Yep. Last week, I think. Yeah. I'm already at 106 or 7 now.
Nice. So how does it feel that after 5 years, you know, you finally reach that, I guess, coveted 100K?
Yeah, it actually feels really good because, I mean, I don't really feel, obviously, I don't feel much different. My views stay roughly the same, for the most part. But my goal, when I went into college in late 2017, my goal was to reach 100K by the end of my college years. So if I had 4 years, was my goal to reach 100K. And at the time, I think I had like maybe 10,000, maybe even less. I'd have to look at what my subscribers count was at that time. Mm-hmm. But like, this was way before Zerwi. This was before, but yeah, so I'm pretty sure around, no, you know what? I don't even think I had 100. I don't even think I had 10K yet at that point. So, so like, it was kind of, you know, it was a big goal to meet. And so I hit 10K, and that was exciting. That was a big milestone. Even 1K was a milestone for me, you know, and now 1K is like nothing. It's weird how it works that way, but, but yeah. And then Zerwi came out, and then that pushed me up to like 60K, something like that. And then it took a little while after that died down. It took a little while to get it back up, but it worked out eventually, and now I have 100K, and it feels nice, and I'm still trying to squeeze that silver play button out of YouTube to send me.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably take a couple months there. They tend to be a little slow with that.
They said that it takes like about a week for them to overview your channel and make sure you're not just like a spam account, and they make sure that you actually make content. So hopefully they consider what I make actual content.
Yeah, so it really seems like, you know, you had fairly consistent growth and then you release the Carl Weezer slow dancing in the dark video.
That was like bam. Like that, I needed that, because at first I was like, oh, this isn't performing the way I wanted it to. I didn't think it was good. I thought that would be like the video that propelled me to 100,000, which it was, but at first it didn't seem that way because the views were not quite as much as I thought they'd be, and I was a little disappointed. But yeah, I was at about 90K when that released, and then that thing just blew up out of nowhere again, like they always do, and then I propelled to 100K, thankfully, and that was what that video was made for, just for that reason. I made a you probably saw it, I don't know, but the Say It Ain't So Carl Weezer video, I made one for that as well, and that one got over a million views as well, and so like, and that was for April Fool's Day, and so that one obviously got a lot of attention, so I thought I'd leech off of that success and propel myself to victory.
Where do these ideas come from? Because like, to me, it's just super out there, like crazy, but
it is.
How does it come to you?
and I don't really know, honestly. It's you know, like you see stupid videos like that all the time on YouTube, and sometimes you'll just be thinking of video ideas or whatever, and you might come up with one. It's like, oh, that's okay. Like I can probably flesh that out. And then sometimes an idea comes to mind and you're just like, yes, that would be so good, I need to do that. So an example of that happening recently was I'm sure you've heard of the infamous Cardi B song WAP. Right. Yeah, I found a meme that was like lyrics change from the song Hey There Delilah to kind of fit the WAP theme, and I was like, if I covered this, it would probably be very popular and it would be so funny, but like, do I really want to do that, because it's freaking WAP, and like that would just be like super I don't know, a little weird, but then I thought, this is too good of an idea. Like, I felt when you feel so good about an idea, you just got to go through with it, because it most likely is going to pop off. And that video in particular, I don't know how much it has now, how many views it has, but someone used the sound on TikTok and they got like, it got like super popular, and they didn't give me credit for it. So I was kind of pissed about that. But
yeah, I mean, that's especially something with TikTok where audios get uploaded and re-uploaded so many times that the credit gets lost.
Yeah, I'd love for one of my songs or like a sound or something to get popular on TikTok, but like I want to be credited for it, you know? Like I want, like, fuck, look at Lil Nas X. His song Old Town Road became huge, easily the biggest song of last year because of TikTok. Like, and I, you know, like I feel like TikTok has the power to do that kind of thing, which is, so I'm hoping one of these days, I can get a popular sound, but we'll see.
How much longer of college do you have left?
This is my last year, so this is my second to last semester, so until May of next year.
So what's your plan for after college then? If you're
I have something in the works that I don't want to talk about just yet, but
for sure.
But yeah, I have some ideas.
I'm assuming content and music related.
Yeah.
Slightly in the vein of what you're doing, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's thinking of getting into creating music or into creating content, what advice would you have for them, kind of how they can get started?
It's hard giving advice to people, because for everybody, it's all about, you know, like the, not to be an annoying, astrologist or whatever. but you know, it really is how the stars align, you know. Like it everything just happens, it has to happen in the right place at the right time, and you know, but if I do have to say, like I said, memes are what propelled me to success. I say look at the trends and follow the trends, but don't don't follow the trends in the sense that you're just copying other people. Like, see what's popular right now. Look at the mediums and try to make use of that in your own creative way. And that's the thing. Like, you have, if you want to be popular, that's another thing. If you want to stick out amongst the crowd and you actually want to make a name for yourself, you can't do it by just doing the same things everyone else does. Like, if you really think, I mean, I guess there are some anomalies where this works, but like, I don't think people are, I don't think you have a good shot of becoming successful by just uploading ukulele covers of 21 Pilots to YouTube, or, you know, like you're not like, if you're just making, you know, little video covers, like, don't expect somebody to see this and be like, oh wow, this guy's incredible, let's give him all this attention, because, you know, there's a lot of those, there's an unprecedented amount of those. So you really got to think of a way to make content that sticks out and is different. That's what I have to say.
Would you say that you're super analytical when it comes to creating your content? Like, do you put a lot of thought into it, or is it just kind of something pops into your head and you just go and make it and hope that it sticks?
It's like half and half. For example, if it's like something like a car, like the Carl Weezer video, like, I would not have made that. I mean, I had fun making it. I think it's funny, but like, I would not have made that video if I didn't expect it to get a bunch of views, you know? Mm-hmm. While some videos, I'm not sure if I'm going to get views. I just think they're a great idea and I think they're really funny and I like it. So I'll just put it out and hopefully it gets attention. If it doesn't, then whatever, I'll get it another time. But yeah, so it's really half. It's a 50-50 thing.
Are there any YouTubers or other musicians that you get a lot of your influence from? I know you said Weezer is a big influence, but
yeah, it's really, I listen to all kinds of stuff. Spotify, mm-hmm. I listen to, you know, some of my favorite bands are, of course, are set in stone, like, you know, Beatles, Pink Floyd. I like Bright Eyes, Mount Eerie / The Microphones. I like a lot of folky stuff, but basically whenever I make music, it's influenced by whatever I'm really digging at the time. And nowadays with Spotify, they have like this Discover Weekly thing, and I just listen to that every week, and I listen to all kinds of literally all kinds of music all the time. I don't even remember half of it, what it is, but I listen to all kinds of music, and I get my influence from whatever I'm listening to at the time. And as far as YouTubers go, as far as like YouTuber content that like is slightly similar to mine, or like I wish I could be like, I can't really think of a lot, because a lot of my favorite YouTubers are like gaming YouTubers, I guess. Uh-huh. And obviously I'm not that kind of channel, but Jack Stauber pops into mind. I really love what he does. He's incredible, and I'm really glad that he's gotten the popularity that he has.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really glad that he has. And then another one I can think of is another popular one is Bill Wirtz, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the kind of things that come to mind. But those guys are honestly much more talented than I am, but those are, it's kind of what I'm going for.
Well, even outside of music, who do you watch? I'm just curious.
As far as gaming YouTubers go, I really like Roboz. He hasn't uploaded a lot recently, which is unfortunate, but Bed Bananas is probably, in my opinion, the best gaming YouTuber out there right now. Who else do I watch? I'd have to like look through my subscribers. I used to watch like Filthy Frank and stuff. Obviously, okay. Yeah. Filthy Frank is gone now, unfortunately. He's now Joji. I like those kind of creators. There's a YouTube channel called Buttered Side Down. Mm-hmm. Those guys are really good. they make like weird special effects videos. I always love the kind of artsy fartsy stuff. So, and then every single one of their videos feels really fresh. So I really enjoy it every time they put something out. And yeah, that's, I like the artsy stuff. The people that are like super creative with what they do.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought of creating content outside of what you currently do? Or is it just, you're really focused on what you do now? Or
I have, you know, I thought about starting like, I don't want to start uploading gaming videos to my channel that I right. have now. Cause that would just like, it just wouldn't fit the, like, I don't get me wrong. I upload a lot of random stuff and from all different kinds of stuff. I upload like stupid animated things to original music, to music mm-hmm. memes, to shit posts. Like I upload all kinds of stuff, but like, I feel like gaming is definitely a completely different category and I don't want to turn into a gaming channel. And if anything, I can see myself starting maybe a Twitch channel and doing and streaming on there. Maybe I'd start a second channel, but I wouldn't do that unless I was like pretty popular to begin with. Like I'm already like, I have like I have 100,000 subscribers, but I don't know how many people would subscribe to my gaming channel. Oh, maybe it's an endeavor for another time, but I think for right now, all I can see myself doing gaming wise is like Twitch. And I plan on doing at some point like a VR chat concert.
okay.
I'm hoping on Halloween, maybe. And we have a little Halloween concert, so that'd be cool. And I can maybe stream that on YouTube, because that's like a concert, so it would make sense. But
right.
But I don't know. It's something I've thought about, but we'll just have to see what the future holds.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you still have a lot of time, and right now is balancing school and also your personal music and content, is that hard, or is it something you've kind of figured out over the years?
Well, before, at times it could be hard because I was commuting to school, and I was mm-hmm. sometimes I was there literally all day, and then on my off days I just have a bunch of homework. But now with COVID actually as much as it sucks, and there's a lot of things that you can't do anymore, as much as that sucks, and believe me, the cons outweigh the pros, but I am very glad that I do not have to go to school and that I can take it online. It has made things a lot easier for me in that sense. So I don't, and not as of right now, I don't really have a hard time balancing that stuff.
COVID for a lot of people has been an awful thing, but then there's also people who have gotten a lot out of it. Like it's really kind of a weird double-sided thing.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't really affected me very much besides not being able to eat out and not being able to go to movie theaters. The movie theaters one really sucks. But yeah.
Have you done any live performances before or?
Nope. I'd like to get around to it eventually. And believe me, I'm sure I'll have to. But hopefully when the virus goes away, I can do that. But yeah, that's another thing. I can't even do that right now. But yeah, it's something I plan on doing, but I have not gotten around to yet. I like performing. I consider myself more of a recording artist mm-hmm. because I like when I, a lot of my songs have pretty high registers for me, and like, it's something that you record and you lose your voice like right after you record it. And right. like, so I can't imagine singing song after song after song live. Also, I would just need to get into shape in order to do that. So
I couldn't imagine doing it, but I've definitely heard like the toll it takes on your body and what you have to do just to prepare yourself for
not ready for that. But yeah, another thing with that, though, is that like I'm not a huge traveling person. I never really enjoyed traveling for long periods of time, so that would definitely be annoying. But if it does come down to being necessary, then I will do it. But also, like I have anxiety, and sometimes traveling I'll get like a panic attack if I'm traveling for too long and I feel trapped or something. It's not something that happens often, but it does happen. So that kind of sucks. So there are vaults, there are faults and you know, there's things to jump over, if in that regard, but I'll get there eventually.
Are there any strategies that you follow when, you know, releasing a video, or any like things that you've learned over the years that kind of help propel the growth of a video after releasing it?
After releasing it? I don't really promote things after I release them very much. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, well, the one time one of my videos got like, I made a Mr. Brightside video that was like, but the lyrics were replaced with Google autocomplete lyrics. And that was one of my first videos to get, I think that might've actually been I'm pretty sure that was my first video to 1 million views. And that was because it blew up on Reddit on r/videos. Mm-hmm. And Reddit, I think, is another great advertising tool. So occasionally I will post stuff that I make on there, because it's a good place to get attention and stuff. Right. But yeah, a lot of the time I also just hope for the best when I release something. So
then would you say that a lot of, or at least for quite a few of your videos that have kind of gone slightly more viral, would you say that a lot of it's luck then?
Yeah, it's certainly a lot of luck. Even mm-hmm. if you advertise, like there's no strategy you can do that will guarantee you to get successful. You know, it's all like, no matter what you do, there's always a luck aspect to it. No matter how much money you pump into advertising, no matter where you advertise, no matter how good your content is, there's obviously an amount of luck to it. Like you can, a movie could have millions and millions and millions of dollars put into it, but it will flop at the box office, because, you know, it's just, I guess it's just unlucky. I don't know. But yeah, there is definitely that luck aspect to it. Because if there wasn't, then obviously you'd be able to do it every time. You'd be able to blow up every time.
If you had to quantify it, like what percentage would you say is luck and what percent would you say is just you?
I will say this. It's not like there is definitely, it's not all luck for sure. Because the thing is, in order for something to get popular, it needs to be good. It needs to resonate with enough people to where they'd share it. It's not just gonna, you know, show up in people's recommended videos and get popular for no reason. Mm-hmm. It's obviously gonna strike a chord with a lot of people. So obviously, you do have to put a certain amount of work into it to make it good. So, and I think if it is good enough, if you're in my position, where you already have a lot of followers and you have that foundation to already kind of propel whatever you release, like if it's good, if it's like really good and it's really funny and a lot of people like it, it probably will get shared enough and it will get popular just because I already have enough views or subscribers or whatever. But if you're really small, then it's definitely lucky. I'd say that it really depends on how big you are, how big the luck factor isn't. I think, like if you're really small and then you blow up, I think that has a lot to do with luck, because you just need the right people to see it in that case.
I mean, makes sense. Kind of as you grow, the amount of luck needed goes down, I guess.
Yeah.
A correlation there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there has to be. I mean, some guy who has 10 plus million subscribers releases a video. He's not going to, you know, he doesn't need luck to have a popular video, you know, like everyone's just going to watch it. That's just how it is.
How long would you say that you spend on the average video that you release?
Depends on what kind of video it is, but average, I my videos are very spontaneous. They're all over the place. No two are exactly the same. Well, some of them are, but but it, like a lot of times it's very different. So I don't, it really depends on what kind of video it is. Like, for example, I have this worst to best series where I rank albums of certain artists. I haven't done one in a while, but like those videos take a long freaking time to make. Like those videos will take hours upon hours to make, but then other videos I'll make that are like a minute long and are just shit posts. Those will take me like an hour to make and upload. Depends on how, what it is, but I'd say like on average it takes, yeah, no, I really can't put an average on it. Cause like, for example, you know, if it's an album I'm releasing video wise, then that's going to take months, you know, that's going to take weeks. If it's a small video, it'll take like an hour. If it's like a, you know, like a decently edited video with a lot of thought and a lot of passion put into it, it could take a day, you know, it's all over the place.
So like the Carl Weezer Slow Dancing in the Dark, how long did you spend?
How long did that take? That took less than an hour.
Less than an hour, and it's at 1.3 million views.
Yep.
Sometimes, that's a pretty good return on investment.
yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, and the thing is like, like I could make more of that crap. I can make short 1 hour videos like that all the time. I can make more Google autocomplete videos. I can make more Carl Weezer videos. I could be a Carl Weezer channel if I wanted to, but that right. that's just fishing for views. That's not putting out content that you really care about, you know? So like, I like switching it up. Like I like making funny videos like that now and then, because it's, you know, it's funny when it's fresh, but like, if you just keep doing the same thing, it's just going to get old for the people who are familiar with it. And it's going to rake in a bunch of views that are pretty much meaningless because, you know, you're not releasing other good content, I guess. I don't know, but yeah, that's it. Yeah. If you get what I'm saying.
No, definitely. And I know that you have some stuff in planning that you don't really want to get into, but what would you say is your long-term goal? Like, what are you working towards?
I'm working towards saving the world. No, I don't know. I just want my music to be heard by as many people as possible. That's my goal. I hope that when I die, I can have a name for myself. So I don't get forgotten like they do in Coco when people stop saying their names.
Oh God!
But yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. I enjoy making music. I enjoy making videos. And as long as I can do that for as long as I live, as long as I can keep making music. I don't know if YouTube will be around that long, but as long as I can keep making music and releasing it and people will listen to it, then I'll be happy. And that's really all that matters.
Right. So as long as it's music related.
Yeah. As long as it's fulfilling.
Is there anything else that you kind of want to share? I know you've given some advice to people that want to create content. If there's any like last things you would want to leave off, kind of like what you would want to share with the world, so to speak.
I don't have a lot of just wisdom laying around. I'm sure if you ask me a question, I can go really deep into it or whatever, but like, I don't know. Like, I can't pick things. I will say this. This is just the first thing that comes to mind. A lot of people ask me what my songwriting process is. Mm-hmm. A lot of people ask me, and I don't have one. I don't have a process. I just literally think of the song and I make it. I write the song in my head and I flesh it out with my hands, and that is how it is done. So I just wanted to say that, if anything.
Would you say that that's something that you're just like gifted with, is this ability to be able to
I guess so. I don't know if that's how most successful songwriters do it. I don't know if they have like some weird, you know, formulaic way of doing it, but as far as I go, I know Rivers Cuomo does it that way, but I just think of things and make them.
Right. I know that there's like supposedly this scientific difference between more creative people's brains. Maybe we'll have to get you a brain scan.
Yeah, I don't know. It has something to do with the frontal lobe or something. I don't know. Some cortex. There's like different people, different smarts have different areas of the brain or whatever that's has more activity or something. And I can tell you wherever math lies is really not a lot of activity going on there for me.
I'm the same way. I've never been good at math.
I don't understand. Like I can like look at a four piece sheet of music, four piece music writing. I can look at that, like writing music, and that stuff's super complex and everything. And right. I can like understand it. But when it comes to math, my brain just does not function. And someone told me that those are like in the same area of the brain. So I don't know how that works, but.
Yeah, I mean, isn't music like really mathematical, but.
I don't think it is, but it might be. I mean, it is very like, I don't know. Like there is like, it is a theory, like there is theory to it. It is very formulaic. But yeah, I like math is just like something you do one thing wrong and it all falls to shit. Music is like, if you do something wrong, you know, it's wrong. Cause you can hear it, I guess. I don't know.
So I know that one of your biggest album is like the Weezer influenced one. Yeah. You said you listen to pretty much all types of music. Like what's the most obscure, like, weird some thing
obscure
you've
music
to.
I listen to?
Yeah.
Oh god. I don't know. I listen to a lot of stuff. The first thing that comes to mind is there was like this isn't the weirdest thing I listened to, but but there is like sometimes I listen to some weird like bands, some obscure bands from like the 70s or something that were doing really crazy stuff for the time. For example, like the first thing that came to mind is a band called The Residents, and they're just super weird. But like, I don't know. I listen to a lot. All corners of music. As long as it's good, I listen to it. I am picky in some areas, but like, I will listen to any genre of, I hate when people are like, oh, I have such a wide taste in music because I listen to country and hip hop, and they listen to like, you know, like top 40 radio for both of those. And like that, like, you know, I listen to any kind of music as long as it's good. Recently, I've been listening to a lot of like 90s dance music. I don't know why. It's just super energetic. But yeah, I listen to a lot of stuff. That's a tough question.
Is there like a certain type of music you want to make and you just haven't yet? Or
I haven't made yet?
Yeah.
I mean, I do a lot of my music has obviously it's got like power pop influences. I've done plenty of that. It's got a lot of folk influences. I've done plenty of that. I plan on making another album. That's going to be a concept album full of sea shanties about gay pirates. Yeah. So that's something I haven't done before. So that hopefully works out. I hope I've talked a lot about it in interviews and online, and I hope that it actually works out so I can actually release it, and I'm not just giving people this excellent idea and then just not delivering. But yeah,
is that something you're working on the side, or is it just a concept?
It's right now. It's just the idea, and like it's in the writing process. But it's going to be like my next main. It's supposed to be my next main album, and like right now I'm working on some Halloween stuff and. That stuff is like what I'm working on now. So I'll start working on that album when that's done, and that'll be like my main focus, and that'll probably come out next year.
Definitely interested in that. It sounds like it's going to be kind of out there. I'm down for that. As we wrap this up, where can people find you and what can they expect from you over, you know, the next few months?
You can find me, in your closet, sometimes under your bed, no, but you can find me on, obviously I've talked a lot about my YouTube, which is just my name, Billy Cobb, C-O-B-B. Billy is B-I-L-L-Y, not B-I-L-L-I-E, like some of the famous Billys spell it. All the famous Billys spell it that way, Billy Joe Armstrong, Billy Eilish, Billy Holiday, they all spell it that way. But I am not that Billy, I am a different Billy. anyway. So yeah, you can find me under my name, literally any platform. You can find my music on Bandcamp, on Spotify, on iTunes, on Amazon, just everywhere. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
What can people expect?
Oh, right. So I have some Halloween stuff that I have a country cover. I have like a cover album coming out this month, full of old rebel country music, that's like super obscure and it should be fun. It's about like murder and sex and Satan and stuff. So that'll be fun. And then I just finished a song for a Halloween 5. Originally I wasn't planning on making a Halloween 5 this year. Mm-hmm. Because I just felt like I needed more time to flesh it out. But I, depending on how this turns out, I may or may not release one this year. It's going to be an EP, so I might release that at the end of the month. That one's like a folk black metal fusion. And then after that, I should be working on my concept album full of sea shanties about gay pirates. And then maybe I'll throw in a few EPs and some stupid videos in between those.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with me. It was really awesome.
You're welcome.
Hey everyone, it's Dakota again. Thank you so much for listening to this episode with Billy Cobb. Be sure to subscribe to him on YouTube and listen to his music on Spotify and many other of your favorite music apps. Also, while you're at it, be sure to rate and verify, leave a review, and share it with your friends. Let me know what you think of the show and tell me who you want to see on the podcast next. You can find me on youtube.com/WestDakota, Twitter at WestDakotaYT, or connect with me on LinkedIn at Dakota Broussard. Thank you. I'll see you next time.